Welcome to Zikhu Daf Siman Mem Rabbi Avraham Goldhar, and today we're Maseches Nedarim, Daf Lamed Hey, the fourth parak, Ein Bein Hamudar. So the three tops are going to focus on. Number one, Rama asked Rav Nachman, Yesh Me'ilah B'Konamos or Lo? Is there Me'ilah for items forbidden by Konam or not? The Rana explains the question that if one declares that something is Konam, is it like a carbon that one uses it violates Me'ilah and is chayiv in the regs with carbon and payment? Rav Nachman brought a proof from our Mishnah, which taught that in a place where payment is given to one who returns a lost item, and the returner declined payment, and the owner cannot keep it because of a neder, tipo hanola hekdesh, the money falls to hekdesh. The Tana saying that the money goes to hekdesh indicates that konamos have a halacha of hekdesh. The Gemara adds that this is actually a malchukas anayim. If one said, konam kikar zo hekdesh, konam this loaf like hekdesh, v'achala ben hu ben chavero ma'al, and either he or his friend ate it, that person has violated Me'ilah. Lafichach yesh lapidyon, therefore it can be redeemed like true hekdesh. But if he said, kikar zo alayla hekdesh, this loaf is like hekdesh to me only. V'achala humal chaver lomal. If he eats it, he has violated Me'ilah. If his friend eats it, he has not. Lafichach eim lapidyon, therefore it cannot be redeemed because the prohibition is not to everyone. It's not strong enough to be redeemed. This is the opinion of Rabbi Meir, but the Chachamim say, in both cases, he has not violated Me'ilah because Ein Me'ilah B'Konamos. There is no Me'ilah by cases of Konam. Point number two, Rav Acha Breid Rav Avya asked Rav Ashi, if one said, Kikar Alecha, Unasano B'Matana, Mi Ma'al, my loaf is forbidden to you, and he then gave it to him as a gift, who has violated Me'ilah? Limol Nosen, Halo Asir Aleh. If you'll say the giver commits Me'ilah by giving it, but it's not forbidden to him, the loaf is fully permitted to him for all benefits. If you'll say that the recipient commits Me'ilah by accepting it, but he can say, Hetera Be'isi, Isura will Be'isi. I want to permit a loaves, not forbidden ones. The Rana explains that the recipient can claim that he would not have accepted the loaf had he known it was prohibited, and it is therefore an acquisition made in error and should be void. Rav Ashi agreed that thus far no one has committed Me'ilah and added, Mekabel Ma'al K'shiyosi, the recipient commits Me'ilah when he utilizes it, despite his lack of knowledge that it's forbidden. Shekoa Motzi Mos Hekta Shechulin, Kesavr Shechulin, Hu Moel. Avzeh Moel, because anyone who spends hekdesh funds for chuan use thinks they are chuan, and nonetheless commits me'ilah. So too, this one commits me'ilah. And point number three, the Gemara asks, Hani kahani shluchi didanavu or shluchi deshamaya? These kohanim, are they our agents in the capacity of sacrificing our karbanas, or agents of Hashem? The Gemara explains that the nafkamina is if a kohen may sacrifice a karban for someone who's mudra hana from him. If he would be considered a shliach of the owner of the carbon, he would not be allowed to sacrifice the carbon for him. The Gemara suggests a proof from a mission which states, Makriv olav kinei zavin. One may sacrifice bird offerings of zavin for a mudar hana as well as other similar atonement karbanas. We see then that kohanim are shluchi d'shamaya, for otherwise he would not be allowed to sacrifice for the owner. The Gemara responds that if anything, the Mishnah indicates the opposite, because why did the Mishnah list only karbanas of those requiring kapara, instead of more generally saying he can sacrifice any carbon for him? Rather, we should say, mechusri kapara shani, those requiring atonement are different based on the statement of Yochanan, that although karbanas generally need the consent of the owner to be brought, the carbon of a mechusri kapara does not. Since his consent is not required, the kohen performing the service is not acting as his shaliach. So once again, the three points are, number one, Rava asks Rav Nachman, Yesh Me'ilah B'Konamos Olo, is there Me'ilah for items forbidden by Konam or not? The Rana explains the question that if one declares that something is Konam, is it like a carbon that one uses it violates Me'ilah and is chayiv in the regs with carbon and payment? Rav Nachman brought a proof from our Mishnah, which taught that in a place where payment is given to one who returns a lost item, and the returner declined payment, and the owner cannot keep it because of a neder, tipo hanola hekdesh, the money falls to hekdesh. The Tana saying that the money goes to hekdesh indicates that konamos have a halacha of hekdesh. The Gemara adds that this is actually a malchukas anayim. If one said, konam kikar zo hekdesh, konam this loaf like hekdesh, v'achala ben hu ben chavero ma'al, and either he or his friend ate it, that person has violated Me'ilah. Lafichach yesh lapidyon, therefore it can be redeemed like true hekdesh. But if he said, kikar zo alayla hekdesh, this loaf is like hekdesh to me only, v'achala humal chavero lomal. If he eats it, he has violated Me'ilah. If his friend eats it, he has not. Lafichach eim lapidyon. Therefore, it cannot be redeemed because the prohibition is not to everyone. It's not strong enough to be redeemed. This is the opinion of Rabbi Meir, but the Chachamim say, in both cases, he has not violated Me'ilah because ein Me'ilah B'Konamos. There is no Me'ilah by cases of Konam. Point number two, Rav Acha Breid Rav Avya asks Rav Ashi, if one said, Kikar Alecha, Unasano B'Matana, Mi Ma'al, my loaf is forbidden to you, and he then gave it to him as a gift, who has violated Me'ilah? Limol nosen halo esir ale. If you'll say the giver commits Me'ilah by giving it, but it's not forbidden to him, the loaf is fully permitted to him for all benefits. If you'll say that the recipient commits Me'ilah by accepting it, but he can say, Hetera be'isi, isura will be'isi. I want to permit a loaf, not forbidden ones. The Ran explains that the recipient can claim that he would not have accepted the loaf had he known it was prohibited, and it is therefore an acquisition made in error and should be void. Ravashi agreed that thus far no one has committed Me'ilah and added, Mekabel ma'al k'shiyosi, the recipient commits Me'ilah when he utilizes it, despite his lack of knowledge that it's forbidden. Shekola motzi mos hekter shechulin, kesaver shechulin, hu moel, avze moel, because anyone who spends hektish funds for chulin use thinks they are chulin, and nonetheless commits Me'ilah, so too this one commits Me'ilah. And point number three, the Gemara asks, Hani kahani shluchi di danhavu or shluchi di shemaya? These Kohanim, are they our agents in the capacity of sacrificing our Karbanas, or agents of Hashem? The Gemara explains that the nafka mina is if a Kohen may sacrifice a carbon for someone who's mudra hana from him. If he would be considered a shaliach of the owner of the carbon, he would not be allowed to sacrifice the carbon for him. The Gemara suggests a proof from a mission which states, Makri v'lav kinei zavin. One may sacrifice bird offerings of zavin for a mudra hana as well as other similar atonement Karbanas. We see then that Kohanim are shluchi de shemaya, for otherwise he would not be allowed to sacrifice for the owner. The Gemara responds that if anything, the Mishnah indicates the opposite, because why did the Mishnah list only karbanas of those requiring kapara, instead of more generally saying he can sacrifice any carbon for him? Rather, we should say, mechusri kapara shani, those requiring atonement are different based on a statement of Yochanan, that although karbanas generally need the consent of the owner to be brought, the carbon of a mechusri kapara does not. Since his consent is not required, the Kohen performing the service is not acting as a shaliach. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Lamed Hey, and our standard Siman is a children's choir singing la, la, la. So here goes. When the Nadari boys choir finished their heartfelt rendition of Yesh Me'ilah Bekona Mos, the proud choir master mistakenly did Me'ilah by treating them to a kikar that was made us to him and given to him as a present. So a Kohen gave him his card offering to be a shaliach and bring his carbon. Once again, in slow motion. When the Nadarim boys choir, that must be learned off. Lamed hey, la, la, la. When the Nadarim boys choir finished their heartfelt rendition of Yesh Me'ilah Bekonamos, which reminds us of Rav's question to Rav Nachman, Yesh Me'ilah Bekonamos, or lo, is there Me'ilah for items forbidden by Konam or not? The Ran explains the question that if one declares that something is Konam, is it like a carbon that one uses it violates Me'ilah and is chayv in the requisite carbon in payment? So when the Nadarim boys choir finished their heartfelt rendition of Yesh Me'ilah Bekonamos, the proud choir master mistakenly did Me'ilah by treating them to a kikar that was made us into him and given to him as a present, which reminds us of Rav Acha Breda Rav Avia's question to Ravashi. If one said kikari alecha unasanu b'matana, mi ma'al, my loaf is forbidden to you, and he then gave it to him as a gift, who has violated Me'ilah? If you'll say that the giver commits Me'ilah by giving it, but it's not forbidden to him, the loaf is fully permitted to him for all benefits. If you'll say that the recipient commits Me'ilah by accepting it, but he can say, Heter be'isi, isura will be'isi. I want to permit a loaf, not forbidden ones. The Ran explains that the recipient can claim that he would not have accepted the loaf had he known it was prohibited, and it's therefore an acquisition made in error and should be void. So, when the Nadarim boys choir finished their heartfelt rendition of Yesh Me'ilah Bekonamos, the proud choir master mistakenly did Me'ilah by treating them to a kikar that was made usher to him and given to him as a present. So a Kohen gave him his card offering to be a shaliach and bring his carbon, which reminds us, the Gemara asked, Hani kahani shluchi di danhavu or shluchi di shemaya? These Kohanim, are they our agents in their capacity of sacrificing our karbanas or shluchim of shemayim? The Gemara explains that the nafka mina is if a Kohen may sacrifice a carbon for someone who's mudra hana from him. If he would be considered an agent of the owner of the carbon, he would not be allowed to sacrifice the carbon for him. The Gemara suggested a proof from our mission which stated, Makri v'lav kinei zavin. One may sacrifice bird offerings of zavin for a mudra hana as well as other similar atonement karbanas. We see then that Kohanim are agents of Shemayim, for otherwise he would not be allowed to sacrifice for the owner. This answer is rejected because karbanas brought from a chusri kapara do not require the consent of the owner to be brought. So once again, when the Nadarim boys choir finished their heartfelt rendition of Yesh Me'ilah Bekonamos, the proud choir master mistakenly did Me'ilah by treating them to a kikar that he was made usher to him and given to him as a present. So a Kohen gave him his card offering to be a shaliach and bring his carbon. All right, so now it's time for four Blabach Chazar. Daf Lamedov. So the Simur Daf Lamedov is based on association to the law, and we use a judge. So here goes. The judge. Judge? That must mean we're in Daf Lamedov, the law. The judge who accidentally broke the craftsman's gavel while inspecting it and was about to pay, which reminds us, Shmuel said, Hokech klimenu umen levakru, one who takes a utensil from the craftsman to examine it for potential purchase, and there was a mishap in his hand, he's responsible to pay. The one explains the item had a fixed price, and the potential buyer knew that if he wanted to purchase the item, he could. The only one to benefit from the purchase is the buyer. As the Gemara explains, it was high-demand merchandise that was being sold at a moderate price, and he therefore has the status equivalent to a shoel, a borrower, who's responsible for all accidents, because kohana, shaloh, all benefit is his. So the judge who accidentally broke the craftsman's gavel while inspecting it and was about to pay was approached by the moyel from 1-800-GEDOLA-MILA, which reminds us, the mission brings a number of Tanaim who give different reasons as to why GEDOLA-MILA, Mila is great, such as 13 brisos are made on it and it's Tocha Shabbos. So the judge who accidentally broke the craftsman's gavel while inspecting it and was about to pay was approached by the moyel from 1-800-GEDOLA-MILA, who begged him to come quickly and be the Sunday for a bris taking place next door at a hotel, which reminds us the reason for Moshe Rabbeinu's punishment upon his return from Mitzrayim was because he involved himself with lodging first instead of immediately circumcising his son. Daf Lamed Beis. So the Simur Daf Lamed Beis is a scientist in a lab. So here goes. The scientist in a lab. Scientist in a lab? That must mean we're in Daf Lamed Beis. The scientist in a lab named Avraham, who was experimenting with time travel so he could go back to the past and fix the causes for slavery, which reminds us different reasons are given as to why Avraham Avinu was punished and his descendants enslaved in Egypt for 210 years. So the scientist in a lab named Avraham, who was experimenting with time travel so he could go back to the past and fix the causes for slavery, punched into his computer the code 172 and 248, which reminds us, we learned from the gematria of Akev 172 that Avraham Avinu recognized his creator at age 3, and from the difference in gematrias between Avram and Avraham, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Avraham Avinu sovereignty over 5 additional limbs when he had bris milah. So the scientist in a lab named Avraham, who was experimenting with time travel so he could go back to the past and fix the causes for slavery, punched into his computer the code 172 and 248, and found himself instead back in his childhood, trespassing a neighbor's property while carrying his toy science kit. Which reminds us, the fourth parak begins, Ein bein hanudra hanam mechavero lemudra hamenu macho. There's no difference between one forbidden by neder from benefiting from his friend and one forbidden by neder from his food. El dris is a regal v'kelem shein osimehem ochel nefesh, except walking through the other's property and utensils not used to produce food. Daf Lamed Gimel. So the Simur Daf Lamed Gimel is a peg-leg pirate. So here goes. The peg-leg pirate. Peg-leg pirate. That must be more on Daf Lamed Gimel. The peg-leg pirate who prevented his men from giving a sack to carry fruit to his captive, who was mooter from food, which reminds us, the Gemara asks why a mooter from food would be prohibited to borrow kalim used to produce food, since he made a netter from the food itself. After the Gemara's first attempt was rejected, Rava answers that speaking about one who says, the benefit of your food is forbidden to me. Since he added the benefit, he means to include all items, including producing an edible food. Rav Papa asks, even a sack to bring food in would be included in this netter as a method of obtaining food, although it doesn't prepare the food itself. So the peg-leg pirate who prevented his men from giving a sack to carry fruit to his captive, who was muda from food, was surprised when the captive's friend jumped on the ship to pay off his debt, which reminds us, the Mishnah states about a muda hana, shoko is shiko, he can pay for his half shekel, pore is chovo, he can pay off his debt, umaxilo is avedo, so he can return his lost item. The Gemara observes, alma avruchi ari ba'alma hu bishari, we see that it's merely chasing away a line, and thus forbidden, meaning the first two cases, paying for his half shekel and paying off his debt, are not considered a benefit received, they are merely protection from a potential loss. So the peg-leg pirate who prevented his men from giving a sack to carry fruit to his captive, who was muter from food, was surprised when the captive's friend jumped on the ship to pay off his debt and return the pirate's lost parrot, even though the pirate had forbidden this friend to benefit from him. Which reminds us, the Gemara records a machlokas between Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Az regarding which cases one may return a lost item to a muter hana. The argument is in a case where the returner is prohibited from receiving benefit from the owner. One says he may not return the item in this case because while he's involved in returning the item, he's patur from other mitzvahs, including tzedakah, which potentially will save him money. The other opinion says that this potential benefit doesn't prohibit him from returning the item because it's uncommon for a beggar to come at the very moment he's tending to the lost item. Daf Lamed Daled. So the Simur Daf Lamed Daled is a ladder. So here goes. The man who ran up the ladder, that must mean we're a Daf Lamed Daled. The man ran up the ladder to avoid his neighbor from whom he was Mudr Hana, and who was chasing him to return his lost item, which reminds us, the Gemara challenges the opinion which held that the Mishnah is only speaking of where the returner is Mudr Hana from the owner, for the Mishnah states that in a place where people receive payment for returning lost items, Tipo Hana Lehekdesh, the payment falls to Hekdesh, if the returner refuses payment. If the Mishnah is only speaking where the returner is Mudr Hana, why does the payment have to go to Hekdesh instead of the owner keeping it? The Gemara remains with a question. So the man who ran up the ladder to avoid his neighbor from whom he was Mudr Hana, and who was chasing him to return his lost item, was overcome with emotion when he saw a man be Makdish Alof in his Dalet Amos, and make sure not to be Ma'al, which reminds Rabbis said, Haisel a fun of Kikr Shal Hefker, if an ownerless loaf was in front of him, and he said, Kikr Zo Hektish, this loaf should be Hektish. The Hektish takes effect. The Ron explains that the loaf was within his Dalet Amos, enabling him to acquire for himself, but since he declared it a Hektish, he indicated he did not want to use his Dalet Amos to acquire for himself, but for Hektish. If he took it to eat it, he violated Me'ilah according to its full value, but if he took it to bequeath it to his sons, he violated Me'ilah only according to the benefit of pleasure derived from his children's gratitude to him. So the man who ran up the ladder to avoid his neighbor from whom he was Mudr Hana, and who was chasing him to return his lost item, was overcome with emotion when he saw a man be Makdish Alof in his Dalet Amos, and make sure not to be Ma'al. So he yelled down to his neighbor that loaf that I made usher to you, I'm now giving you as a gift. Which reminds us, Rav Chiya bar Avin asked Rav, if one said, Kikar alech, my loaf is forbidden to you, and he gave it to his friend as a gift, what's the halacha? He explained that his query was that if the implication of my loaf meant to prohibit it only while it belonged to him, but once he gave it to his friend, it would not be included in his neder, or did he prohibit the loaf to him completely? Rava answered that he certainly intended it to remain forbidden even after gifting it, because otherwise, what purpose did he forbid the loaf to his friend? Rav Chiya bar Avin responded that perhaps his intent was only to exclude if he invited his friend to eat the loaf with him, that he may not do so, but he did not necessarily intend to prohibit the loaf after gifting it to his friend. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which tefillin, the one who takes a utensil from the craftsman to examine it for potential purchase, and there was a mishap in his hand, he's chayav to pay. That's on Duff. Lamed off. Good. Number 2. Which tefillin, the question whether there's me'ilah with konamos or not. That's on Duff. Lamed hey. Good. Number 3. Which stuff does the Mishnah state about a Mudr Hana that one can pay for a shekel and pay off his debts and return his lost objects? That's on Duff. Lama Gimel. Good. Number 4. Which of them learned that if an onerous loaf was in the Dalet Amos of someone and he said, Kikar Zo Hektish, this loaf should be Hektish, the Hektish takes effect? That's on Duff. Lamedal. Good. Number 5. Which stuff do you have the question, are Kohanim Shluchim of ours or B'Shamayim? That's on Duff. Lamed Hey. Good. Number 6. Which will be the question, if the Mishnah is only speaking where the returner is Mudr Hana, why does the payment have to go to Hektish instead of the owner keeping it? That's on Duff. Lamed Dal. Good. Number 7. Which will be the question, what if someone forbids his loaf to his friend and then gives it to him as a gift? That's on Duff. Lamed Hey. Good. Number 8. Which Duff does Gemara discuss if someone said, my loaf is forbidden to you, and he gave it to his friend as a gift, what the halacha is? That's on Duff. Lamed Dal. Good. Number 9. Which of them, the Moshe Rabbeinu was punished because he involved himself with lodging first instead of immediately circumcising his son? That's on Duff. Lamed Dal. Good. And number 10. Which of them, why Mudr Hana from food is prohibited to borrow utensils used to produce food? That's on Duff. Lamed Gimel. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman, Zichu, wishing a great day and great learning.